Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, November 14th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two wonderful panelists to talk about the topic of the day. First of all, I have John Martellaro with me. Hi, John.
Hi, this is John. My heart goes TikTok Martellaro.
I can't keep up with all your nicknames, John. I'm going to have to update that one in my phone now. Anyway, the other deep sigh you heard was my other panelist today, Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
Oh, that was good. Okay, so, Charlotte, I want to start with you. We're going to talk about Apple's announcement this morning. It seems like they're kind of clearing the decks. We got a new computer yesterday. We got news of a forthcoming new computer yesterday. And today they've announced a new app and among other things. So do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so the research app has landed. It's available in the App Store now to US customers and users. And it works on the iPhone, I think from 6S onwards. Mm-hmm. And on the Apple Watch. And it is linked, something we'll dive in a bit later in the show, to three new studies. Mm-hmm. They are the Apple Women's Health Study, the Heart and Movement Study, and the Hearing Study.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things we want to draw out from this, and we were kind of quite interested in this when the news first broke. We did know this was coming. This is not a total. We've had previews of these studies. We knew there was going to be this app, but now it is available. It's here. Mm-hmm. So that the news is that this stuff is available and the studies are open for enrollment. We knew they were coming.
Yes. One of the things that's interesting to me about this in particular is we sort of knew when they talked about there being a research app and that sort of thing. We sort of knew that this was how the studies would be managed because Apple did do a heart study with people's Apple Watch data. Correct. And I think that was last summer was when they rolled that out. And so the interesting thing about it was that you just sort of, I think it was within the Watch app, you just sort of said okay. And then anonymized hunks of your data for your heart rate would go to Apple and I want to say it was Stanford, but I could be wrong about who was doing that study. And whoever the organization was doing that study, so that they had lots and lots of data to pull from. And we talked about it on the show. And one of the things that I thought was really great about that is that a lot of people, particularly because this was a heart health study, a lot of people have pretty good heart health, so they don't go to the cardiologist. So at least in the United States, Charlotte, it's a whole thing. So so if you're healthy, like they don't necessarily have a lot of healthy person data to choose from. So it's hard to compare, you know, like what actually would be outside sort of the averages for somebody's heart health. So I really liked the idea that anybody that wanted to could participate and help give a better look at what normal heart health looks like for people. So I was always excited about the health kit stuff and how they were able to take research kit and turn things into something where they could get loads and loads and loads of data. And of course, there was an announcement afterward about how this was like the largest heart health study ever because they had all these people that they just asked who all said okay. So I think we're going to get the same thing with this app.
It's the biggest ever. It's Apple. It's always the biggest, the largest, the thinnest, the somethingest.
That's true. There's a lot of est at Apple. And but in this case, I'm really interested. And of course, there's a quote from somebody at Apple in the press release, and it's Jeff Williams, who's chief operating officer. His name may sound familiar to you because at the press events, he's usually the one that comes out and talks about whatever the new thing the Apple Watch is going to do. And they talk about how, thanks to the Apple Watch, there's a lot easier ways to collect some of this data. So you go to the App Store and you download the research app. And when you open the research app, it tells you up front, there will be studies available. We will talk to you about them. Some of them want additional information that you have to fill out. Some of them don't. And then there's another screen that tells you about security. And then it opens up to the studies that are there. And right now, as Charlotte was saying, there are three studies. There's right now, because I have the app installed, so I'm just looking at it. So right now, the three you can choose from are the Apple Heart and Movement Study, which is through the American Heart Association, Brigham and Women's Hospital, and Apple. And you can learn more and enroll in that one. And then there's the Women's Health Study that Charlotte mentioned, which is with the Harvard, T.H. Chan School of Public Health, the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, and Apple. And there's also the one that I thought was pretty interesting is the Hearing Study, which is through the University of Michigan and the World Health Organization and Apple. And the reason that one's interesting to me is because one of the things that we got recently with the Apple Watch is the loudness detector. If you're in a very loud environment, you can have it set, like alert you that it's pretty loud where you are and there may be something that you want to do about it. So, and you can see that as part of your health data. If you look at in the health app on iOS 13, if you have an Apple Watch connected to it, you can see what the hearing exposure has been like over the last few days or whatever. It gives you an average. I think these are pretty interesting. Now, John, I know before the show, I had asked if you were going to sign up for any of these, and you said you didn't have time. If it was passively gathering that data, and it's very upfront, like when I did the heart study and when I did it, I remember being very upfront about like, here's what we have and here's who we're going to send it to and that sort of thing. So, if it was just passively collecting information and you were okay with that, would that be a thing that you would sign up for?
I don't know. I have this sort of economy of activity where I try to minimize all of the stuff that comes at me every day. Mm-hmm. And if I were to respond to everything that comes at me all the time, I would never have time to do anything else. And so I have this sort of economy of thinking like, what do I need to do this? How much effort's going to take? And what's my benefit? So I'd have to think about it.
Okay. Well, I think aside from the women's health study, I don't think the other ones require you to do a whole lot. So it would be pretty easy to participate in the study. You just have to like tell the app, yes, it's okay.
What I think is interesting about the study is that there's two kinds of studies. There's studies that reveal the differences in biology amongst people. You know, we respond to medicines in different ways and mm-hmm. antibiotics in different ways and vitamins. And sometimes generic solutions or dosages or treatments that apply well to one person don't apply well to another. Mm-hmm. And the opposite case is what Apple's exploring here is when aggregate data for lots of people helps you collect so much medical information that you gain big data insights into how to treat people's health in general without having to worry about specific responses or reactions. So there's two kinds of approaches, and I think these kinds of approaches are probably chosen in order to gain the maximum benefit from aggregate data as opposed to individual treatment data or individual profiles. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I was thinking about as I read this. The other thing I was thinking about is how Apple has gracefully turned geeky high-tech iPhones and watches into instruments for the public good and payback to people. It's not just a geeky toy. If you buy an iPhone or an Apple Watch and contribute to these studies, you're on the right side of history. You're on the right side of science. You're on the right side of
You're doing good technology. For society, John.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just one more reason to be respectful of Apple and to enjoy using their products. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Apple has made these kind of lifestyle essentials now, haven't they? You know, the Apple Watch and the iPhone are good for your health. They're contributing to major studies. If you get this data, you're going to be healthier. You know, even the health app on your phone, even aside from these studies and the research app, you know, it's good for you to be part of these things. That's the message coming out of it. These are good for your health. Mm-hmm. And I think Apple has really made that part of the sell of a number of their products recently. And I think John's really hit the nail on the head there. It's gone beyond being kind of either geeky or luxury items to almost lifestyle essentials.
It fits in with Apple's social responsibility theme in terms of solar power and not putting stress on the grid, in terms of security and privacy. Is the natural thing for Apple to do in terms of being a socially responsible corporation.
That's a really important point, because they made that point in the release announcing the arrival of the research app. They talked a lot about privacy, which is something I want to come back to briefly, and also kind of the whole thing was talking about and framed in this way of contributing to the development of science and the public good. Mm-hmm. On privacy, you're right, Kelly. You talked about protecting your data when you contributed to the original heart study. Mm-hmm. Within the release, there's a lot of talk about... Sorry, I say a lot. They do emphasize it in one very clear paragraph in the announcement. But the bit that made me jumped out at me was in the hearing study. The data is collected via headphones, the iPhone, and then kind of ambient noise via the iPhone and Apple Watch noise app. Mm-hmm. Can anyone see a problem here?
With what? Yeah. I'm actually asking, like,
hey Alexa. Like, we've had stories of companies receiving audio data, mm-hmm. and not storing it properly and violating people's privacy storing audio data.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment Apple will do this, but it just made my back kind of, you know, made me sit up straight for a moment. This idea of collecting audio data.
Well,
now maybe I'm totally stupid and I should be much more worried about, you know, heart data or data about my menstrual cycle or something. But it seemed to me if it's doing anything that's listening. And now I know the emphasis is on volume and mm-hmm. kind of ambient noise. It doesn't really care about specific phrases. It's not listening for certain phrases or anything, not in the way saying oh, you know, I'm not going to say it, but you know, it's not asking for one of those kind of key phrases,
right?
But it just made me wonder what kind of stuff gets picked up when you start listening for audio data.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably not designed to recognize speech or pick up speech because it's so low level. I think noise and high intensity sound is probably the focus.
Now, what I remember
is the focus.
Yeah, what I remember of the noise app when they talked about it, what I remember them saying is that it samples for like decibel level, but it's not looking for, it's not recording any of that. And, if I recall correctly, I know it's not recording. It's just sort of sampling to play back and figure out like how loud it is where you are. Yep. And then that data isn't saved. That part I do remember. They said we don't save any of that information. And then what happens is it samples, and then like if it's high, it will continue to sample, because after I think 3 minutes, it will alert you like it's pretty loud where you are. You should maybe... like do something about that if you haven't already.
And
it's not everybody for the noise study. It's Series 4 or Series 5 and WatchOS 6. So the noise app doesn't work for everybody anyway.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's all important, but it made me sort of raise my eyebrows a bit, if you see mm-hmm. what I mean.
I do.
I suspect, in fact I'm almost certain, both you and John are right that, and we know that it's not listening for, like I say, it's not listening for a specific key phrase or anything. It is sampling decibel level as you've described.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is worth pointing out how strident Apple has been about the privacy issues around these kind of health studies. It's very sensitive to that, and if you're concerned about it, you should take a minute when you sign up for this stuff to kind of have a read of mm-hmm. what they say about that.
Yeah, and they do tell you right up front, when you first download the app, like, you know how a lot of apps have like the little intro that you go through before you actually get into the app. And this is one that has that. And it says, like, some studies will want you to fill in additional information. Some don't. Some will work a particular way. You know, some just want the passive data. And if you send it to us, here's what happens to it, that sort of thing. So it's very upfront about what happens to your information, what information that is. And then each of the studies that you do will walk through, like, here's what it wants. Here's what you have to do if you want to do this study. So, like here live on the air, I will just fire up the research app and go to the Apple Heart and Movement Study. If you tap on learn more and enroll, it tells you about the study, what it is they're trying to do, who the partners are. So it gives you a little bit about the American Heart Association and about Brigham and Women's Hospital. And then at the bottom, and I checked all three surveys, they have this expectations and requirements. And then there's a few little symbols. So you'll wear your Apple Watch and record your workouts. You'll occasionally be asked to complete short surveys. If you fall, the app may ask your permission to follow up over the phone. With your permission, the study will collect your heart rate and activity. You should not share your iCloud account, iPhone, or Apple Watch with anyone else to ensure data integrity. This study will last for at least 5 years, and you'll be asked to confirm your participation every 2 years. So that one, it tells you right up front, here's what you're doing, here's for how long, here's what we need, here's what we will want from you.
Companies can compose such a clear presentation and build confidence. On the research and privacy page, they've got four bullets. There's a next, but on the up front, right away, it says your data will not be sold. You decide which studies you will join. You control which types of data you share. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has a 4,000-page EULA.
Yep.
Where everything is cloaked and hidden and disguised for their own benefit, but not yours.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is really cool how Apple is able to leverage its devotion to privacy and security into a user interface that mm-hmm. builds confidence as well. I think it's just amazing.
Well, and the other thing is I like how Apple has integrated that so thoroughly into everything. I know we joke about the iTunes terms, but like a lot of stuff that like these hearing, like the hearing study, it's an even shorter list of things at the bottom. Occasionally complete a survey and a hearing test. With your permission, it will collect data such as sound exposure from your watch. Don't share your phone for data integrity. And this one is a 2-year study. And then if you hit enroll, it will walk you through some stuff. I haven't set up any of them yet.
John is saying, oh, it's great how clear Apple is being whilst respecting people's privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I absolutely hate companies hiding behind pages of terms and conditions and privacy statements that they know people are not going to read, and then inevitably they are abusing people's privacy.
Right.
Or, you know, they're hiding stuff in there that we might not want.
Yes.
Do you think Apple is, given the intimacy of what we're dealing with here and the data we're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
do you think Apple is giving you as a user, and but remember, I'm in the UK, I can't see this stuff.
Right.
I can't get it on my phone. Do you think Apple is giving sufficient information?
I think on the surface, the answer is yes, because for two reasons. Number one, I'm sure there's a more in-depth set of information that you can go get from Apple if you want it. But from the beginning, they're telling you, this is the data we want to collect. This is what would be required from you if you wanted to participate in this study. And I really like that because, yeah, if I do want to know more, if I feel funny about, like, maybe I'm a person who works in an environment where there are a lot of confidential conversations, right? And maybe sometimes it's allowed where I am, but sometimes it's not. And if it's not, I want to make sure that those conversations aren't being recorded by something that I'm accidentally carrying with me. Like, you know, I want to be aware. So I like that they're putting that up front. And if I want to get more information, then there's probably more information from Apple's website or you know, something on these studies so that I can figure out, you know, what are you doing with that information? How often are you recording? You know, is that information leaving my device? That kind of thing. So I like that Apple's putting it out there to begin with, because I think that's really important to, you know, like I said, to integrate it and make it something right up front. We want information from you in order to do this. like what you're saying is you will give us information. Here's what we want. Here's how we want to get it from you. Here's how long we want it for, etc. And I like that they're putting that right up front as part of the process, and that that's part of the process with everything. You know,
to answer Charlotte's question, I agree with Kelly, but there's another implicit term, and that is if you trust Apple and they conduct themselves in the right way and they phrase their language in the right way, you have implicit confidence, even though they may not have covered everything that could possibly be divulged to you.
There's two ways of looking at it. I'm not sure implicit confidence is good enough.
Sure.
But also, I don't think people... I don't know if most people think about this stuff either as much as they could.
There's the manner of the way the company approaches the customer and the language.
Yeah, but I don't know if people particularly think about that either.
I do.
Yeah, but we're not people, John, we've established. John, I mean, aside from you being a robot, like, we're not people. So
I think it's our job to kind of analyze the 30,000 foot view of how Apple is approaching this.
So I take Carner TV's in this. I think because most people are not John, and are not going to have the level of understanding of what Apple is doing with their data that someone like John would, I think clarity and simplicity are important. However, I think that also can't have the effect of not telling people enough, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but I think...
The other side of the coin, Kelly and Charlotte, is guess what? This sort of locks you into your phone like Apple Pay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You're going to feel so guilty if you switch to Samsung. You're going to say, oh, I'm letting humanity down.
Well, here's the thing that I think, like...
How can I change phone? I'm part of the health study.
Yeah. The other, I guess, side of the coin... to John's point, is that by putting it up front, it's a thing that you sort of have to think about because it's in front of you. So I think there are a lot of people who have closed their eyes and clicked on terms and not paid much attention at all. And when I say a lot, I mean basically everybody at one point or another has probably just clicked okay on something. And yet, by putting it in front of people, like, here's the data we want, here's how long we want it, here's how we want to get it, we want to track information from the health app, or we want to take surveys, or, you know, whatever, by putting it out there in front of people briefly but clearly, I think that's also going to make some people stop and think about it. Like, do I want Apple to have my menstrual cycle data? Do I want Apple to have my audio environment information? Like, you know,
it sets a standard too. Mm-hmm. If somebody else tries to duplicate a study like this, you know, some other competitor, they would have to think about whether they measure up to Apple's clarity and servicing of this, and how they present their terms of service. And it sets a bar that is most difficult to copy and sets the standard for the industry.
Well, and so there's a web page for the app on Apple's website, and there's some big subhead, like they have some huge screenshots across the top. And then innovative products, innovating research is the first section. And the second section is designed for privacy. And it talks to you about it. And it says right here, once shared, any data collected through the research app will be encrypted if you have a passcode set on your device. And since this is 6S or higher, most people do, because you're either using the home button or Face ID. Once shared, it is stored securely in a system within Apple that is designed to meet the technical safeguard requirements of the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act.
Stored within Apple?
Uh-huh.
Does that mean Amazon work servers
AWS?
Owned by Apple? AWS?
That would be a HIPAA question. The next sentence is, Apple will not have access to any contact information or other identifying data you provide through the research app, and you can withdraw from the study at any time, ending any future data collection. So HIPAA compliance, by the way, is a very high bar that you have to meet, which everybody has to sign a form at the doctor's office for the most part, like, if you go see a specialist and they want to share with your primary care provider or something, in order for anybody to say anything about any of your medical information in the US anyway, there's HIPAA compliance that you have to do, which is HIPPA, which is Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. That's where all that information gets managed.
How much access do researchers have to the data once they're allowed access? Are there ways for the researchers who do have access to the data to maybe misuse it? That's something to think about, and I'm sure Apple put that into the design of the system.
Sure. And there, I'm sure there's a certain amount of this that's solved problems. There have been medical studies before. You know, they weren't necessarily digital studies, but there's always been... there's safeguards in place. I don't know a whole lot about these, so I may be telling you more than I know, John.
Also,
there are like defined methods for how to do surveys, how to make sure that the data is anonymized, and that sort of stuff.
And also, I know we're talking a lot about Apple, but on each one of these studies, Apple has partnered with I don't know the organization because they're American, but they are all, as I understand it, highly respected. Mm-hmm. Medical scientific institutions. So,
yeah. Harvard, again, done School of Public Health, the National Institute of Health, the American Heart Association is part of the Heart Study. So, yeah.
They're giving some of the hearing study information to the World Health Organization, aren't they?
Yes.
University of Michigan as well. So, you know, it's not just about how Apple protects data as
right.
well.
This isn't like crazy Eddie's medical studies or anything like that.
CNET Insider or CNET interview with Jeff Williams about how they handle that. Mm-hmm. Like a Phil Schiller like interview and disclosure. Somebody will do that, I hope.
Well, I think they should come on Background Mode, John.
Yeah. I think you should absolutely have Jeff Williams on Background Mode and talk about this.
Mm.
We'll see.
So, Jeff, if you're listening, or if somebody who's friends with Jeff Williams wants to nudge him toward Background Mode, you can always reach out to us through the contact form. You can talk to this show by emailing observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. This is some pretty interesting stuff. I'm sure we will talk about it more in the future. I would like to say... my initial assessment is that, first of all, this is a very good look for Apple to roll out the research app immediately with a women's health study after how long women waited for basic health information to be trackable via the health app. So I'm pretty pleased about that. And I'm glad to see it. So we will talk about this more. Maybe John's going to participate in a study. I'm probably going to sign up for one. If they roll them out in the UK, Charlotte might do it as well. So we will let you know.
Yeah,
how those
I think I probably
go.
Would actually.
Yeah, for the most part, what little I know about folks who do medical studies is that it's usually pretty low demand for information, unless it's one where you have to like wear some sort of medical monitor unit the entire time. Oh, wait, I'm already doing that. Yeah. So anyway,
It doesn't seem much.
Yeah. So I will thank both of you for being here today. John, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Also with me, Charlotte Henry. Thank you, Jen, for being here, Charlotte.
Always a delight. Bye, John.
Bye, Charlotte.
One of my favorite episodes whenever I can have the two of you on together to mix it up. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.